What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Off. And I think this team has always been at its best when you have different stretches for different guys. Like, it's not just one guy all night. One guy gets hot for 5 minutes and he scores 10 points. And then another guy gets hot for 5 minutes and he scores 8 points. Another guy gets hot for 3 minutes and he scores 6 points and has, you know, a couple of threes or a couple of drives to the bucket, and everybody's contributing. But in this game, and as we get to this time of the year, it becomes a game of it's a more isolation game. It's a more high pick and roll game. It's a more let your stars eat game. I was listening to NBA radio this morning before Jeff took the air, and as Brian Scalabrine says, you go what they call pigeon hunting. You look for the worst defender, you get your best player on them, and you go pigeon hunting. And whether that worst defender is a terrible player or not, that's not what I'm saying. You're letting your best go against what you perceive to be their worst. Your best matchup is what they mean by pigeon hunting. And so there's not a lot of guys that can stop Ja face-to-face. We've seen that. And I get all of the things that are going on when he's just gotten into the groove and played ball. We've seen that, those flashes. And some of that comes from Zach Edey being more productive. I don't think there's any doubt about that. 40 rebounds in 2 games. We were all going, no, leave him in. Let him get 20. Because I don't think in Grizzlies history they've ever had a back-to-back 20-rebound performance by a single player. So we were all kind of hoping for that, but he got to the 40 mark in 2 games, and then that puts him in pretty historic category, person at company, I should say, with I think it was Hakeem and Shaq, and Charles Oakley was one of them as rookies that had 40 or more rebounds in a 2-game span. And he's just he seemingly is getting better. It's also part of the maturation process where we're now in April, and, you know, he's played more basketball in one season than he had probably in the previous two. So he's growing up, you know, as a player and figuring it out. And he loves to mix it up. We had him on the air in Detroit, and it's courtside, and he's talking to Pete, and he thinks he's going to do the interview with Pete. I said, no, we're right behind Pete. And he looked, and he turned his back. I'm like, no, we're like literally right behind you. And he just turned his back, and I could see the scratch marks. And I said, you know, judging by the fact I can see scratch marks all over your arm, it got physical tonight, but you seem to enjoy that. He goes, I love mixing it up. And that's what you want to hear. You want a big man that'll get in there and mix it up, because he's going to have to do it tonight.
Eric, good luck, my man.
Guys, look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, that is Eric Hallstein of the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network. Again, it's a late one tonight, pregame 8 p.m., tip-off with Eric at 8:30. When we come back, let's get into the list. Got to get into the latest NIL story. We'll get you a Masters update. Cobb, I'm in a bad spot right now.
Rory's cooking, man.
I got hope. So that's the problem. So we'll get into that and more. Also, an unusual story from college basketball I want to talk about with Cobb. We'll discuss that when we come back. Jason Smith also during hour number 2. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The Zen Sports app is getting a major upgrade soon. Zen Sports will be launching the new state-of-the-art VIP Play app later this month. You'll be able to bet on more than 200-plus sports leagues and parlay nearly every bet offered, period. Also, I'll have my own special same game parlays featured, and will so many more of your favorite sports talk hosts throughout the state. You can head on over to zensports.com/VIP play to learn more and to claim an early welcome bonus offer on VIP play when it launches in Tennessee later this month. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 and older and in Tennessee to bet. Let's get into the list. Nico Iamaleava, right? Iamaleava. That was one of those ones that I learned how to say, and then I heard somebody say it wrong, and it screwed me up. That's always the worst.
Okay. I still don't know how to say Jarrett Guarantano, and I covered him for 5 years. So
Guantanamo Bay?
Yeah, that's closest. That's close enough.
All right, so we have the story from On3. Pete Nakos says that Tennessee and Nico are in active contract negotiations ahead of the 2025 season. It is unclear if the negotiations will impact whether he enters the spring transfer portal, which, Cobb, you looked up before the show. When does that open up again?
Yeah, I'll get those dates for you right here, Jeffrey. So the spring transfer portal window in college football, that opens on April the 16th, which is 6 days from now, and it's a 10-day window going through April the 25th. So,
seems wildly convenient.
Come out. Right.
Okay. Here's the thing, though, that I'm curious about. Which side do we think is renegotiating?
Well, Nico Iamaleava is not worth what Tennessee is paying for him. I mean, that's my opinion. But so clearly, his side's trying to negotiate for more money. And if you're Tennessee, you're like, why? Like, what did this dude show me last season to suggest that he has earned a pay bump after his performance last year?
So the first question would be, and I don't know. I struggle with Nico because I didn't see a lot of guys wide open. Did you?
They ought to just get off of Nico, use that $6 million or whatever it is, go out and get some dang receivers. Because you know what? You got a couple of top 10 QBs on this roster. Now, granted, none of them have taken a pass, but Jake Merklinger, George McIntyre were both highly touted quarterbacks. You got Faison Brandon committed coming in. He's going to be a true freshman next season. Like, I'm telling you, worth it.
It's why I'm not convinced that this came from his side.
Elaborate. What's your theory?
You could tell me that his side ends up leaking the info to control the story. If I'm Tennessee, I'm kind of going through a contract negotiation. Like, this is the problem. It's like you can't, it's not like the NFL where you can, you know, convert it to salary cap money or convert it to signing bonus money. But if I'm Tennessee, I'm trying to get this number down. And if it is coming from his side, okay, if I'm Tennessee, I'm actually going, all right, because who are the actual threats?
It's Alabama and Georgia would be the only two in my mind that could realistically compete financially for a guy like Nico, and they're the two teams that are probably in the biggest need of a quarterback that register at all on the national radar.
That's kind of that's also like another thing is like the agents will always make you believe that there's another suitor, but like that is kind of the other aspect of like these are conference rivals.
Because here's my problem from the Tennessee angle on this. I think they are prone to overpaying here, specifically Josh Heupel. You've seen over the years how loyal he was to Joe Milton. He wanted Joe Milton at UCF. He wanted to coach him then. Joe Milton ends up going to Michigan. Then several years later, Josh Heupel reunites with Joe Milton at Tennessee, even after seeing that at Michigan, Joe Milton was not all that great, but Josh Heupel, he believed in him.
Yeah, but Cobb, we cannot forget the pass in the Orange Bowl, the post pattern.
Oh, wow, but he can throw the ball so far.
Yeah.
Right? Like Josh Heupel got enamored with Joe Milton the same way every NFL draft analyst had, and the same way every NFL junkie is right now with him getting traded, and they're like, oh, wow, Joe Milton. Can you see the velo? Can you see how far he can throw the ball? And it's like,
where did he get traded?
Cowboys.
Cowboys, yeah, that's right.
I mean, anyway.
Shout out Trey Lance.
My point is, my Heupel gets infatuated with tools.
So,
and then he neglects performance. And so I think he might be getting got here because he's in love with the guy. And he's not even that good.
Okay, I struggle with Nico because I think he got unfairly blamed last year because I thought Tennessee's receivers were wildly pedestrian. But with that being said, it's like, okay, who, like, honestly, it's like SC, maybe? Like, are they really rolling with Maivea, the UNLV?
Yeah, yeah, right. So my understanding is that USC is going to rock with Jaden Mayava, who played a good bit last season, second half of the year. I guess Miller Moss
benched Miller Moss, and then they right. put him in because their Mayava's line was
been there. Their quarterback of the future, though, like they went out and got him for that purpose. So like, I think what it is Nico's agent is looking at the other options that Tennessee has and seeing that none of them have attempted a college pass, and thinking, all right, they're going to pay whatever we ask them to pay to keep this guy on the roster. I think Tennessee's being held hostage right now, and I don't think it's worth it. As you mentioned, Jeffrey, there were other problems besides the quarterback last season. So I don't mean to insinuate that Nico Iamaliava is a bad player. I think he's a top 15 quarterback in college football. But for crying out loud, they're trying to get him paid like he's the best player in the sport, and he's not.
Well, and that's kind of this other conversation, and we're seeing it now because – you know, we got the JT Toppin reports. I have no idea what the number actually is, but there are people that are saying it's $4 million. There are people saying it's $3 million. The clear and obvious aspect of it is it's high. And so this is actually the question that I have as it relates to Nico. Is the price just always going up? Like, for instance, when we see NBA contracts, they just keep going up. NFL contracts, they keep going up. They keep going up. They keep going up. Is that what we're seeing in college sports? Or is this an unusual period of time because we have everyone that is... the schools are promising money based on revenue sharing, which hasn't officially gone into effect, but they think the house settlement's going to happen. Everybody's trying to rush to get deals done before the settlement goes into effect so that the NIL deals don't have to go through the review process, which I still don't even know if that's legally going to stand up, but that's the way everybody's operating. And then literally every single human being in the portal or in college athletics is a free agent. And so this is actually like a peak. That's what I can't figure out.
It is a peak. In all, it's a legal peak. Right now, you're seeing deals negotiated based off of the old school NIL system with collectives that we've seen for the last 3 or 4 years now, actually not even old school, like the new school NIL collective model. And on top of that, these programs are seeing that they're going to be sharing $20.5 million in revenue sharing with the players. At Tennessee, that's 75% of that's probably going to be football. So what Nico's camp is seeing here is that this is an unprecedented opportunity to push for more money for our guy. Tennessee was probably hoping to slow play this, though, because if the house settlement had gone through, then they would have had their hands tied, and they could have said, you know what, we're sorry. Like, we can only pay you so much now. The settlement has not gone through, so Nico's camp is pushing hard because this transfer portal opens in less than a week, and Tennessee doesn't want to lose its starting quarterback, but they sure don't want to pay any more than they're paying him now. I mean, he's not worth it. He's not worth it.
This is another thought that I had. In professional sports, like the NBA, the NFL, the locker room kind of understands, all right, when somebody holds out, like it doesn't really get held against them. Are we sure that's how it works in college?
No, we're not. If you told me that this created problems in a locker
right.
room, I would fully believe that.
Because, like, yes, I guess you could make the argument, well, in the NFL, there's a salary cap, so if the running back's holding out, like maybe that could impact. But it's like there's just a mindset where they kind of understand, all right, this is the only leverage that you have, so you have to do it. But in college, like if Nico does this and holds out and gets more money, isn't every single guy going, Well, why didn't I hold out? Or why shouldn't I hold out right now?
No, 1,000%. And if I'm running personnel right now for Tennessee, I'm crunching some numbers to say, okay, let's say ballpark, we were going to pay Nico 5 next year. His camp wants 8. All right. Well, what can we spend $8 million on? One, we could go find a replacement level QB for 2. We could go lure somebody else into the portal via tampering. Right?
By the way, surely they're not paying him 5 next year, right? I thought the whole thing was like 8.
I'm ballparking here.
But like that means like that's, I was thinking he was probably making about 2, 2.5.
But the money's going up, right? The money's going up. And
holy hell.
Well, just for the sake of debate, like how much more could you go out there and get that could actually help you in terms of receiving talent? You got to replace some studs on your defensive line. You could go get, as I mentioned, a decent replacement level quarterback to compete for the job. How much you could get 5 or 6 quality players for what Nico's going to cost. And I'm not, again, he's a top 15 quarterback in the country. He's probably a top 5 or 6 quarterback in the SEC, but he's not, I mean, he's not what Hendon Hooker was for you.
No. And I do think Hendon's that guy that I think Hendon is similar to Burrow in this sense where Burrow probably doesn't light it up in practice because as soon as you touch Burrow, he's down. But what we've seen like with Burrow is it's the ability to extend the play, make throws late downfield. I can see where Hooker was kind of the same thing where, you know, as soon as you touch him and he's down, like, well, that he hasn't had a chance to make his plays. But the other thing with Hendon, to me, it's like I just thought the receiving core was better. Like, Hyatt was open a lot. And
he was. Like, yeah, it was a different team, better team around him, without a doubt. So that Nico is hard capped on what he can accomplish at Tennessee unless they surround him with better players. And it could be that he's partially frustrated by that. But how is you begging for more money going to help with that at all?
Think you bring up a great point in this sense. Whatever Patrick Mahomes makes, he's worth it. Because I think what we've seen, like, forget the – I get it. He was awful in the Super Bowl. I'm not denying that. But when you look at what's around him, you're like, this team's not very good. And he's still – they were damn near undefeated this year. So – paying him is fine. But then when you give Dak Prescott Mahomes money, well, now you're starting to limit what your team can be. And so that's kind of the thing with Nico is like, I think Nico's good, but do I think that Nico is the guy that no matter what is around him, he's going to always produce? Not necessarily. We didn't see it last year. Does that mean he can't get better this year? No, that doesn't. But like, I think that's kind of the other thing that you realize with college football now. Now that everybody's kind of running some version of spread, RPO, like read-react offenses, most guys don't take like these drastic leaps. Like kind of what you see is what they end up being. Like maybe they get a little bit more experience, but they kind of largely, like what you see with them, their first like handful of starts is kind of what they are. And I contrast that to the NFL where it's like, you almost need about 50 starts to figure out what a guy is. Like last year, everybody would have thought C.J. Stroud was going to be the next guy. And this year, like he wasn't awful, but he clearly was, he was not what he was year one. And so I wonder with Nico, like, are you better off utilizing your resources elsewhere? Like, I kind of think this is a risky move by him.
It is, because you go in to the portal. Let's say you do land at a high caliber Alabama type Georgia place. You weren't there for spring practice. You're showing up for fall camp and hoping it works. And meanwhile, those schools, if it's one of those two, you know, Alabama's got Ty Simpson, right? I mean, former 5-star guy who we think could be the guy there. Georgia has a guy now that's played a little bit in Gunnar Stockton.
Yeah.
You know, they might, but that's it. One of those two, right, would probably be...
I can't remember his name. Alabama also has a freshman they like, but everything that I have read and seen is it's Ty Simpson's to lose. Doesn't mean he can't do it, but it's his to lose.
This is where it would be great if you could make trades in college football. If you could make a trade with Georgia to say, hey, you know what, send us Gunnar Stockton and your third best receiver.
And NIL consideration.
and one of your four-star defensive linemen that you know isn't going to play. Send us those three guys, and we'll send you Nico. You know, like
if we had trades in college football, I would be interested to see how many teams wouldn't even want players back. Just give us money so that we can go get some more players.
It's crazy. I think this is the tipping point, though, because if House goes through and all future, quote, NIL deals have to be approved through that clearinghouse.
Which I cannot wait. How long do you think it takes somebody to challenge that?
Not long.
There's just no way that that's going to fly.
We got to have collective bargaining. The athletes have got to be employees. It's got to get to that point for all this mayhem to be cleared up. It's got to be that way. And meanwhile, it affects Memphis too, right? You see the way P.J. Haggerty is kind of...
Well, I mean, that's the thing. If Obi Toppin's making $4 million... JT Toppin. Like, do I think JT's better than Haggerty? Yeah, but they're both returning All-Americans.
Oh, yeah, if JT's making four, then I absolutely believe P.J. Haggerty can make three.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And Penny, he recognizes that. He knows that.
Thing. If you've been seeing, Penny's been going on podcasts and whatnot, and, like, Penny has been talking about the money. And that's what's really interesting to me. Memphis clearly can be the far and away the leader in NIL in AAC basketball. But I don't know if it's this day and age, man, where like I would bet their NIL budget would be in the bottom third of the SEC.
Yeah. So the high major budgets for this year are creeping towards 10, 12 million. We'll be able to stay that way. We'll see. Memphis has the FedEx money, but I mean, what else does it have? So, and you're trying to enter this revenue sharing era without a Power Five or high major sort of TV deal. That's tough, man. It's pennies on the dollar what you're making from that AAC media rights deal. This underscores the importance of getting off the sinking ship, you know. And I'm not sitting here and telling you that Pac-12 was the answer. I'm not saying that.
No, but that's the thing is like I we talked about this with Jason last week, but I don't think it's ever been closer to say that the football job is as good as the basketball job.
At Memphis in particular?
Yeah.
Well, what it creates, not just at Memphis, but at a lot of places, is a really uncomfortable internal tug of war for resources. I mean, we've seen this coming for a long time.
And to your point, it's not like they're fighting over, you know, they're not fighting over, let's say, $100 million. They're largely fighting over, that's the other thing people don't realize about House. House is just going to expedite there's going to be like three programs at each school.
Exactly. So, and at Memphis, it's not clear cut. It's not obvious. Which one do you prioritize? No. I mean, football's been so good. Like, if this were 15 years ago, it'd be easy. Give all the money to John Calipari, right? It's not so obvious anymore. You got a football program consistently winning 10 games, beating power conference opposition. Meanwhile, you got a basketball program coming off an NCAA tournament appearance. You know, you can't just pick one anymore.
No.
Like you could at most SEC schools.
All right, quickly, Alan Huss. All right, you got to explain this one to me, Cobb. So, Alan Huss was the head coach at High Point. He's a former Greg McDermott assistant. He is now going back to Creighton, where he will be named head coach in waiting, according to Pete Thamel at ESPN. So, this is not unheard of. Like, we saw this a decent amount in college football, where head coach, usually at either a job that's mid-major or, you know, whatever, G5 job, or coach that's kind of on a hot seat, going and taking a coordinator job and just coaching ball. We saw it with Chip Kelly. Gus is doing that with Norvell at FSU. Like, that's not an unheard of thing. But what I don't get is Alan Huss is leaving High Point to be an assistant at Creighton. You could honestly tell me that's a pay raise. I'd buy that. But the head coach, am I missing something? Is Greg McDermott, like, 75 years old? Like, I don't understand this.
He's 60, right? So he's not at that age where you just naturally assume he's about to hang it up. I mean, look, we got Bruce Pearl and Kelvin Sampson and Rick Barnes. Rick Pitino, all still out here balling as coaches in their mid to late 60s or even beyond. You know, Barnes and Pitino are both 70 plus. So with McDermott at age 60, you're thinking, what? Why are we scheduling a head coach in waiting here when you've got it rolling and seem to have plenty of tread on the tires? But what it is, Huss was with him for six seasons at Creighton, then left to take the High Point job. He's been unreal at High Point. They've won back-to-back conference titles. They just went to the NCAA tournament for the first time ever. Allen Huss now very much in demand for bigger, better coaching opportunities. However, he played at Creighton from 97 to 01 under Dana Altman. He then worked for Greg McDermott for six seasons before going to High Point. So what this suggests to me, and I can't confirm this is exactly the case, but if you're Allen Huss, you don't leave High Point and go back to Creighton as an assistant where you were for 6 years unless you know roughly when that Greg McDermott retirement's going to come. Because if he wants to coach until he's 75, well, then all of a sudden, you know, you're an assistant there until you're in your 60s. That doesn't make any sense.
The only thing that I can think of is you're right. And honestly, like, we keep hearing it. You and I hear every single cycle McDermott wants out. Honestly, what this told me more than anything is, like, Greg wanting to, let's solidify, if I do shop around again next offseason, we've got this figured out and everybody won't be that mad.
Yeah, that's what it screams of. And McDermott is criminally underpaid for what he's accomplished at Creighton. So they've got their succession plan. What this is Creighton getting a hometown discount on a former player who's a rising star in the industry. I think it's fantastic by that Creighton administration.
No, I applaud Creighton for doing this. It's just it's a bizarre move. All right, quickly, Rory McIlroy. All right, we're two holes away from me officially believing.
Oh, he's dialed in.
So right now we have Justin Rose leading, and Rose has been unbelievable today. And this is a guy that historically has a great course record at Augusta. But if we get through 11 and we're on 11 comfy, we're in comfy two-putt range, although with Rory, no such thing. Well, the putter hasn't been that bad today. Get through 12. If we can get to 13 at 4-under, I'm officially believing, because that means the only person in front of him would be Rose. That would match Scheffler and Corey Connors. We're two holes away from me believing.
He hasn't made a bogey, and his driver is hot. He is just piping.
And even his, I know we make the jokes about, like, here comes the apathetic wedge. Like, he's looking rock solid. This is a problem. And I am very close to having a 72 hours of hell of, I remember this from St. Andrews. Like, there's just nothing worse than knowing I'm going to be disappointed on Sunday.
Did you bet on him?
Oh, yeah, of course. I do it every year. All right, when we come back, we talk to Jason Smith. Let's talk about this subject that we're discussing with NIL and what he thinks about it. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results.
And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. Jason Smith is the co-host of the Jason and John Show, weekdays right here on 92.9 FM ESPN from 11 until 2. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at JasonSmith929. Jason, I know your co-host has a column up over at the Daily Memphian asking about, you know, the big questions surrounding the program and can it institutionally compete at the highest level. When you start thinking about where Tiger basketball ranks nationally, what are your feelings?
Well, my feelings are it's going to be tough to stay there. And, you know, because of the price, because of today's price. Today's price is not yesterday's price. Last year, we're talking about Coleman Hawkins getting $2 million. And not having any idea that you might one day have a player that, you know, could be, in terms of setting the market, right there. And, you know, maybe JT Toppin did it yesterday. PJ Haggerty could have done it. But you now have a number, you know, whether it's $3 million, $4 million, we've seen a couple different reports, but you've got now that range for a second team AP All-American, which, oh, by the way, is what PJ Haggerty played himself into. And so this idea, if the price is going to keep going up like this, that you can compete nationally at this price, right? And it's, you know, where does it end? It's going to be tough because, I mean, just let's break it down to math. It sounds like what PJ Haggerty could very well get is the majority of Memphis's NIL budget last year. If that was around $4 million or a little over, I mean, he's going to eat up a majority of that with a, you know, if it's a $3 million, if it's even $2.5 million.
Yeah.
And so you're looking at right now what the Tigers are doing with these other spots they've got to fill. Well, how can they know firmly what they're going to have for those guys? Many of the ones that have gone off the board have been the high dollar guys. How can you even go after those guys when you know if you get your way, PJ Haggerty is going to take a large chunk of it. So point being, if Memphis is not eventually going to get to the, you know, 10 to 20 million, 20 plus for some, I'd imagine that are, who knows how high that number will get, just in terms of what you've got, that pot you've got for basketball, then I don't know if you're what has always been Jeffrey the department's aim to compete nationally. You had a top 25 program this year. It did that. Problem is you only put 6,500 butts in seats. Actual butts and seats for a top 25 team. There's a reality here in terms of, again, the price it's going to cost to stay nationally relevant, get to a second weekend, and where it could go from here. And so when you look at the payoff, well, okay, that's what we've always done. But if you're only putting 6,500 butts in seats in an arena you don't control, this is kind of where maybe you get to the
to what John was talking about today, and we had a discussion about 30 minutes long about what feels like perhaps a shift in the athletic department. If you're going to start taking away a little bit from basketball because you realize in this day and age, the ceiling is lower, and particularly, again, you're talking about a lower seat. 6,500 butts in seats in a building you don't control. Oh, on the football side, we just got control of this stadium that we're renovating, right? No, our aim has never been to compete nationally. We can't do that. We can't win a national championship. But if we have the best thing in the group of five, for now, it's a spot in the college football playoff, right? And possibly excitement in terms of filling up our newly renovated stadium that we control, unlike FedEx Forum. And Jeffrey, you've talked about this. I think Walken wrote it a few weeks. Cobb, you've been all over too. You know, 2030 is sort of what everybody's pointing to, is when these television contracts are up. And obviously, we don't know how long that seat as the group of five rep is going to be there at the college football, you know, playoff table. But this chance to have football, which is all, you know, in terms of conference realignment, that has what has led these schools in football. You've tried it with basketball leading you. No one's picked up the phone in a serious manner. So do you now have to, understanding the realities, not just Jeffrey of your basketball program, how much it's going to cost to keep it where it is, but also, is there a higher ceiling for us, especially with what we're trying to do, if we go into an area? Listen, those last years of Fuente and then Norville, I mean, that you could argue that was the height of Memphis football right there for a very short time. You don't have a tradition like you do in basketball. And so what you're asking is that change of your face, potentially, if you make this shift. Because, listen, we could discuss this on the football side and what the SEC is going to have compared to you or not. And it's still, you know, the divide is great. But the difference is, and especially right now, is the little guy in this instance. And I certainly wouldn't have, I mean, Memphis is the biggest little guy in this sense. The folks outside the power structure, the group of five, you can beat out Boise State to do that. You know, and again, with a newly renovated, what is this thing going to be, 35, 40? I can't remember whatever the final number in terms of that seat's going to be. Maybe you feel like now, well, we're better served in terms of investment, in terms of getting a return on our investment. Remember, I mean, they're limited. The Grizzlies own that place. Concessions, parking, you know, that's all them.
Well, I mean, to your point also, it's like, okay, Cobb, what do you think? Probably 10 million is going to be an elite college basketball roster next year?
Yeah, roughly. That's, yeah, competitive. For
I mean,
sure.
I know that there is enough money, but it's like, think about what that would mean for Memphis to do that. Like, they basically would be getting rid of everything else.
And exactly. And if you're going to try to retain a PJ Haggerty, well, what you've got left isn't much. And again, just a few weeks ago, Jeffrey, we were talking about how good a position we felt like Memphis was in. And then it's reporting, you know, you go, it's having, you know, the sense of this change now of what's coming with revenue share. You know, John's again talking to what sounded like a middle of the road, but power conference coach who says he's going from 2 to 6, you know, just this year. And that's middle of the road to bottom. And so they're going to be able to get guys that might have been stars for you, and especially in terms of what you were going to have to pay them. And it's just that's what I'm saying. That's not that could get worse in terms of what they have and what you don't. Penny, again, he gave you his best season, nationally ranked all year long. I once subscribed to a thought that so long as you put a program that's nationally ranked all year long, oh, they'll come back. Like you can get it back to 10,000 actual butts in seats. You know, sure, maybe not the 15s and 16s you used to put up, and certainly not the 18,000. But you can get it back. I used to believe that. I don't believe it anymore. I think it's changed college athletics as a whole, but also how we view what we, you know, there's all those other factors about downtown, right? All that plays into it. There's how much Tiger basketball still costs.
Yep.
And so it's an uphill battle for them. It's always been uphill for Memphis, for that athletic department across the board. But that uphill is a little bit more slightly inclined, I think, maybe more than slightly on the basketball side. Your path now, and if we're talking return on investment, especially in a building you control, if you can pack that out, that's your parking. That's your concessions. You know what I'm saying? And it might be eventually your ticket, the one that you haven't had the right ticket for, well, or at least the ticket, it hadn't been the right one because you've tried to give them, you know, in terms of the step up to the big conference, the ticket that has basketball as the face. Well, maybe now is the time to shift gears. And again, on a side that you have much more control over right now, just in terms of your revenue and what you can do. Maybe football is the way to go. It's interesting. But what it does, Jeffrey, I mean, you asking about basketball, yeah, it's going to be tough. And maybe so much so that you sort of have to reanalyze everything, especially your approach here as you try to make this transition into this new world, this ever-changing world of revenue sharing and everywhere else. Well, where is it best suited to place the majority of it? It might be football going forward.
Well, Jason, I thought it was interesting kind of what you said at the beginning, like kind of how the rest of the roster can't fall into place until we know for sure what P.J. Haggerty is going to do. And so Gabe asked me yesterday, am I worried about the status of this Memphis roster? And my answer to him was, I'm not worried unless P.J. Haggerty decides to transfer. And then you're in scramble mode because a lot of the other best players or potential type replacement types for him have already committed. And at that point, yeah, you'd have a lot more money to spend, but you would be in scramble mode as opposed to if you land Haggerty or retain him, then you can make the pieces work around him. Maybe you don't have enough of your Tyrese Hunter type this year, but you can still go out and get the Colby Rogers type of players, assemble the AAC All-Stars, that sort of thing. I mean, where are you at on that? Like,
100%.
It kind of feels to me like it's all dependent on what Haggerty does.
Well, 100%. And you're in this boat, unfortunately, because of a lack of continuity, because of a roster that for the last couple of years, you've had to replace just about all of it. See what I'm saying, Cobb? If you were in a position, unfortunately, where maybe you had kept some Jonathan Lawsons, maybe you had kept, you know, I even looked at as Jared Harris as a guy that eventually you got to start keeping some of these freshmen, or at least, you know, guys you bring in and they have an understanding they're not going to play. And I know it sounds far-fetched, but you look around. Again, John did the column. He did the work. The continuity, you know, those teams that made the Final Four, they all had it. They weren't filling 7, 8, 10, 11 holes in this mode. And so back to your point, Cobb, when you've got so many holes to fill and you're walking, this is a tightrope walk right here that you're on with PJ, to your point, you can't go out and go after any of the big dogs right here, because if PJ locks in, you won't have the money. And then by the time, if he does bail on you, to your point, you're stuck with the third and fourth options probably at that point, depending upon how long he has strung you along. And so it's more dangerous, Cobb, because you've had to flip your rosters almost completely the last couple seasons. And you can't get to a point of continuity in 1 year. You can't. It takes 2, 3, 4 years in a world of college basketball, dude, where everything's changing. But you've got to be able to have, whether it's those JUCO guys, those DeAndre Williams that stayed for 3 years, you know, Jordan, 2 years, you need more of those guys. The Temple guy they got, saw he was a sophomore last year. If you're going to get the continuity, it's not just about keeping what the P.J. Haggerty's, but you also have got to keep the ones that you develop. That's hard to do. Jonathan Lawson redshirted. Then he played, I want to tell you, 19 minutes that redshirt freshman season. It wasn't a ton, but he was in the rotation. And it wasn't enough to keep him from going to Creighton. So it's hard to do. It's hard to keep. Jared Harris, I mean, you know, it probably was out for – probably made that decision long before the season was over. Penny decided, I'm going to go with Okoji here because he's got more experience, and it probably ends up costing you Jared Harris or any chance Jared Harris has of seeing a future here. And so it's hard to do. I don't know how you flip it, Cobb, you know, as quickly as Penny needs to in terms of the continuity part. But what it does is leave you – having to fill so many holes that, yes, man, if PJ doesn't, you know, if this doesn't get done, bro, you are scrambling. That's hard to do every year and then hope to have good chemistry again. We just saw it 2 years ago when you had to go with the second option in Quinterly because you wanted Bradley, who ended up at Arizona, but you had to go with that second option. Hey, he wasn't your first, and we know, you know, it wasn't all on Quinterly. I mean, you added Naquan and everything else. There was a bunch of, you know, sort of things in that pot. But he wasn't the leader you needed. He wasn't the Tyrese Hunter type of leader that you ended up with this year. There's no gamble that you get the right guy again. There's no promise you get the right guy again next year and the chemistry is as good as it was this year when you're having to replace so many. So tough is not even, doesn't even begin to describe it.
Jason, we really appreciate it, my man.
You guys take care.
That is Jason Smith, of course, of the Jason and John Show. Justin Rose just rolled in another birdie. He's now at 7 under. He leads by 3 over Scottie Scheffler, Corey Connors, Rory McIlroy, and Tyrrell Hatton at 3 under. Rory still has the big birdie holes. He's still got 13, 15 remaining, but I don't know. Cobb, on the one hand, like, I'm starting to get a little worried because Rory looks pretty solid, but then he runs a birdie putt about 6 feet past, so that did settle me a little bit. And then also, it would just be so tremendous if we think that we're getting this awesome Scotty versus Rory showdown, and then Justin Rose just wins by like 4.
I wouldn't think that's tremendous. I like to see Americans win the Masters, Jeffrey.
He's our finest import. His daughter's American.
MasterCard's an American.
No, I'm talking about Rory. I've spin zoned Rory. Like, Poppy's an American.
Oh, right. Yeah. Did you see that putt she made during the par 3 yesterday?
Yeah, I've never seen a little girl want the camera less than she did. Like, Shane Lowry's daughter's like hoisting her up on her shoulders, like just milking it for the crowd. And Poppy just wanted to be anywhere else. Like, that was
Fleetwood's kid was the star of that show. Did you see his interview?
He was.
I just didn't have the distance to get it this year, but we'll keep working.
It was a stud. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, couple of quick notes before we get to tell your story. Cobb, there's one of my favorite developing post, like, second careers. Ken Griffey Jr. is a credentialed photographer at the Masters.
I'll become a photographer if it gets me on the grounds,
like,
at Augusta.
That is insane. Well, the other thing that I find interesting, you know who else is, like, deep in the photography game?
Randy Johnson?
The big unit.
What?
So something in the water in the late 90s Mariners that turns them all into, they just want to become photographers.
Have you seen the logo for Randy Johnson's company?
Well, what was funny, I covered the A&M Ole Miss game back in 2014, and I'm sitting in the Southwest terminal to fly back to Memphis, and Randy Johnson, with all of his just, like, photographer gear, is just posted up in the terminal with me. Like, I don't think he was flying to Memphis, but, like, we were sitting in the same, just going off to cover some sports.
Bizarre. Why?
I don't know. I'm all in on this. And then the other big story coming out of the Masters that maybe everybody didn't see, well, Jose Luis Ballester, he's the reigning U.S. AM champion. Apparently, nature was calling on the 13th hole. And, quote, "I completely forgot we had those restrooms to the left of the tee box." On the 13th tee, he was asked? Correct. And then I'm like, "I really need to pee. Didn't really know where to go. And since JT had an issue on the green, I'm like, I'm just going to sneak over here in the river and probably people would not see me that much." And then they clapped for me. Said the loudest ovation he got for the day was for peeing in Ray's Creek on 13. I hope my boy doesn't get tapped on the shoulder and has to withdraw tonight.
Yeah,
I don't know the green jacket.
He'll never be invited back.
Yeah.
He'll never be back.
Tough scene. All right, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. Former goaltending legend Eddie Lack played for the Caps 4 times throughout his career and allowed 4 goals from Ovechkin played the Caps 4 times in his career and allowed 4 goals from Ovechkin during that period. Budweiser sent special edition cans to 28 goalies who faced shots from Alex Ovechkin and did not give up a single goal. Quote, "This is BS. If I knew there was beers involved, I would have tried harder." I think it's a pretty good line.
I love it. I love that they that Ovechkin declined the empty netter.
Yeah, I did too.
Setting the record.
This doesn't count. All right, my man. We appreciate you.
Hey, thanks, brother.
That is David Cobb. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.